World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from Drive-In Church in Winnipeg, Canada, here's Leon Fontaine.
The story is told of a young pastor starting in a small town, his first charge. And he was going through learning about the church. He found out that there was a farmer just on the edge of town, maybe a quarter of a mile, half a mile out, who really didn't come to church much, but a little bit. And he just decided to kind of visit him. And so he just went for a nice walk on a summer's day. And as he got close to the yard, and he looked at all the buildings, they were beautiful red with white trim. And then he noticed the fences, beautifully white painted and horses running around. As he walked by the pens with different animals, they were built beautifully, looked after so well. He looked out in the fields and saw beautiful straight lines as they had been seeded, and he was just, his mouth hung open at the gorgeous, beautiful farm and every area of farming that was there. The farmer walked up to him, and this is the pastor's first chance to meet him, and he looked out over all that this man had, and he said to him as he met, "Hey, I'm the new pastor in town, and wow, I just want to say, my, my, has God blessed you?" And this senior man, a vet at business and leadership and all that he was doing there in his career, he looked at this young pastor and he says, "Well, pastor, you should have seen this place when God had it all to himself. I want to talk to you today about growing up and building a life. We sit around waiting for miracles," and that wasn't what this young pastor meant, but that older businessman, he understood that the favor and the blessing of God that is upon our lives, it requires you and God to come together and build something truly magnificent. As a teenager, my mom and dad used to take me to conferences. I remember going to different cities where they would pack out these auditoriums, hockey rinks, basketball places, up the sides, right into the rafters, would be packed out with thousands and thousands of people. And all that was happening was a faith conference. All that was going on was teaching the Word of God, speaker after speaker. There was no entertainment. There might be a little bit of worship, but I distinctly remember in my teens a hunger in the areas and the churches that we knew across America and Canada. It was palpable. It was exciting. Everybody would sit there with their Bibles and a notepad. You were either underlining and circling in your Bible, or you were taking down fresh notes. And the excitement of the revelation of God's Word, the hunger for God's Word, reminded me of that psalm where King David talks about, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you." We've got to recognize that you need to teach your children what Jesus has done for your life. We have moved from a dependence on God's Word and His Spirit over towards just the five senses and knowledge. So many believers put science first as the be-all and the end-all, and then try to show how God's word makes sense with science, rather than recognize the incredible power and authority of God's word and how science keeps learning and growing and confirming God's word. We need to recognize, you know, a generation can walk in the blessing of the first generation for a while. There'll be a prosperity and a healing and a peace and a joy in the home that transcends into your children for a bit. But if they don't have the hunger that you had, the thirst that you had to dive into the Word of God and to know Him, to, you know, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. I'm not talking about seven steps to this and four steps to that and how to figure out how to make it so simple even your kid can get it in 5 minutes. He won't. This is a relationship for the rest of your life. This hunger, not for the historical Jesus, but for the risen Lord. If we're going to build a life, we must learn the Word of God to build with faith, with words of faith, with the armor of faith, with the sword of the Spirit and the spoken word, faith in His stunning abilities that moves on the inside of you and I and causes us to build rich, amazing families, rich, amazing health, rich, amazing emotions, thinking to renew our minds, make our bodies living sacrifices. We must get back to this hunger for God's word. In Colossians 2, 9 and 10, it says that you have a full and true life in Christ. Be filled with Him, the ruler of everything. All power, all authority is in Jesus. We've got to get focused on Him. If Peter can just focus on Jesus and then step out of the boat and walk on the water and then change his focus to the storm and immediately sink. And then Jesus grabs his hand. His focus goes back on Jesus and he walks on the water with Jesus back to the boat. It shows us the tremendous importance of focusing on Jesus, the living word, the written word, the relationship that we can have with him. You know, opposing thoughts, doubt, misbeliefs. People get focused on what their five senses, which are so limited, what they see, feel, hear, taste, touch. And you have to understand that the reasoning of your carnal sense-dominated mind, it's at war with faith. It's at war with a heart filled with the beliefs of God that rises up and takes dominion over the world that you live in. Financial, mentally, emotional, relational, etc., protection, all of these things. We've got to understand that if we do not take a hold of the Word of God and immerse ourselves in it as our very life, that ahead of you, you will not make it without God's Word. Oh, you might have some half-baked life and some half-baked marriage with some half-baked kids living a boring, ordinary life, but you're not walking out the very thing that God has for you. He needs you. He needs you to live so far above the world's standards that you make them jealous. The very word blessed, it means happy, fortunate. It's where we get our root word fortune, and to be envied. By who? By the world who needs to know a God that loves them, not the religious craziness that is taught from some pulpits and television networks. We need to learn that we walk by faith. We live by faith, not by our senses. Yes, we need to learn to work in this world, and our five senses are beautiful for enjoying and making administrative and management decisions in our everyday lives. But your future and what God has for you, it is by faith that you speak to mountains. It is by faith that we see disease run. It is by faith we access God's ability, His grace, His righteousness. And I pray that something arouses within you. You know, in Romans 1:17, in the Amplified Bible, it says here, one of the lines as it talks about, it says, the way of faith arouses you to more faith in more areas of your life. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. By faith, the just will obtain life, Zoe, life. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 16, a stunning miracle takes place. And they're asking the disciples what happened. And they said, His name, through faith in His name, has made this man whom you see and recognize strong. Yes, this faith, which is through and by Him, has given this man the perfect soundness of body. Faith is all through the Bible. It is a faith God that spoke the worlds into existence, a faith Jesus who spoke to storms and dead bodies. It is what we need to understand. This Christian life, this following Jesus, is not some kind of religious ritual. It's not some kind of a mystic discipline that we adhere to. It is, first of all, a relationship with this Jesus. And when you dive into His Word, you begin to relate to who He is legally, and shortly, you'll begin to enjoy the fellowship of knowing Him, sensing Him, feeling His love, knowing faith. In Romans 5, 1 and 2, it teaches us that we are made right with God by our faith. That through our faith that has brought us into His blessings. In Hebrews 10:38, that we will live by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, 15 times, it speaks about the heroes of the Old Testament who by faith took on armies, by faith built an ark. By faith, they rose up, and their generations for thousands of years were blessed because of that faith.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Do you want to do more than just exist or barely get by? Do you feel unworthy to walk in the power and authority you have in Christ? As a Christian, you have the ability to walk in faith. You just need to learn how. In this series, Supercharge Your Faith, Leon unpacks the forgotten basics of faith. You'll begin to gain an unshakable confidence in your rights as a believer, and will discover the truth about how to build your faith. Start walking in power and rise above every storm with confidence.
Hey everybody, giving is such an act of love and confidence. And I'd love to have you join the family around us giving and financing this program. For a gift of $30 or more, I want to send you this series on Supercharge Your Faith, the things I've learned that have changed my world.
Get your copy of Supercharge Your Faith today.
I want to challenge you today. Stop living some kind of waiting for God to move. Just like that farmer on the edge of town said to the young pastor, you should have seen this place when God had it to Himself. Together with hope and faith and belief, He built and grew, and this thing rose up. Your life needs to be built by faith. This faith in Jesus. And the Bible says, literally, this faith in His grace, which is the free gift of this life, the free gift of His righteousness. If you don't, not only will you never live out the life that you actually have been given, your children will struggle in this life of faith unless it is taught, unless the passion that you have goes on down to them. Do you understand that passion is what is moldable? I remember talking to a young man whose dad never spent a lick of good time with him. You can go through this man's life and you just feel sorry for this young man. Dad never talked to him, laughed with him. The only thing he can remember is his dad taking him to football games. And so the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, he eats breathes and sleeps his one passion. It's the one thing that was passed on, that he was marinated in, that he hangs on to, and there is nothing else in his life. Because as parents, as leaders, as adults in our church, if we are passionless, if we don't have zeal for God's house, which even Jesus, it says, zeal for his house had eaten him up. If we don't hang on to this and dive in and enjoy this Jesus, to live this faith life, to speak, to declare, you are never going to walk out. And so I pray that something within you stops looking at just the historical Jesus and you recognize the risen Lord. This Jesus that I know, this man at the right hand of God who loved me and died for me, he now lives for me forever. He was God's answer to the cry of humanity. He was God coming to our five senses. He was an intrusion into this physical realm. He talked like God. He acted like God. He lived like God. And on the cross, he died like God. He was not a philosopher searching for the truth. He was the truth. He was not a mystic. He was reality. He was not an experiment searching for reality. He was not a reformer. He was the recreator. He was not a visionary. He was the light of the world. Jesus, he never reflected. He never reasoned. He knew. He never asked for prayers for himself. He never sought the help of man. He was never in a hurry. He was never afraid. He never showed weakness. He never hesitated. He was always ready. He was sure. There was a sureness in all that he did or said. He had no sense of sin or need of forgiveness. He never sought or looked after or needed advice. He knew why he came. He knew from where he came. He knew who he was. He knew the Father. He knew about heaven. He knew where he was going. He knew man. He knew Satan. He had no sense of lack. He had no sense of limitations. When you look at him when he was arrested and he went to the cross, he had no sense of fear. He had no anger. He had no sense of disappointment, no sense of being defeated or being forsaken. He had no sense of need of human sympathy. He didn't shrink from pain or brutal treatment. He was master when they arrested him. He was the master at the trial. He ruled the seen and the unseen while he was on the cross. He was almighty, yet a man. When you look at him after the resurrection, he had no sense of revenge. He was love. He was a revelation of a new kind of love. There was no dramatics. He said, go tell Peter, that literally weakest one. He died a lamb. He rose the Lord. He acted like God. He spoke like God. His resurrection had all the simplicity of God. He was God. His words are spirit and life. Jesus knew the value and authority of his own words, and he dared to say, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He knew that his words were living things. He knew that his words, that they would have life and death. Your words would have life and death in them. You remember how he spoke to the barren fig tree and it died from the roots up. You know that he spoke to the widow's son and he became alive instantly. The word we know by the name of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Word that brought eternal life to us. This Word is the faith-building Word, the grace-revealing Word, the Word of assurance. This Word is our testimony. It's the Word of faith which we preach. We abide in His Word, and we are His disciples. We know the truth, and the truth makes us free. We abide in the Word. We live in it. Our home is in the Word. We abide in the Word, and we abide in Him. We declare our rights, and they come into being. When you look at God's Word, the Word is of God. It's outbreathings of God, the mind of God, the will of God. It is God speaking. It's a part of God Himself. It is a living thing. It abides forever. I watch over my word to perform it, He says. No word from God is void of power. God and His word are one. The word can live in my heart. I'm going to obey it. I will do it. I will enjoy it. We should have this faith in the written word. All the mighty achievements rocked by men of God have been accomplished by faith in the written word. He was word made flesh. Jesus spoke the word. He was the word. Now, it's my faith in the living word, the written word. It is that word in my lips that heals the sick, that breaks the power of demons over men. I hold it in my hand. I have it in my heart. I have it in my lips. I live it. It lives in me. The word is our healing. It's our strength. It is the bread of life to us. It is the strength, the very ability of God to us. The word is our confession. The word is our light and our salvation. The word is my rest, my pillow. The word gives me quietness in the midst of confusion. It gives me victory in the midst of defeat. It gives me joy where desolation reigned. The word on my lips becomes the living, life-saving, soul-inspiring voice of God. We've got to understand God's word on our lips. First, it's the word in your heart. Then it's the word in your lips. Jesus knew what his Father's word would do on his lips. Peter and John knew what the word would do on their lips. It's the word that goes forth out of my mouth that cannot return unto him void. This creative word on the lips of Jesus is the creator of the word on your lips. Faith is daring to speak his word to the sick, to the demon possessed, and setting them free. Real prayer is taking his word into the throne room and letting his word speak through your lips to him on the throne, in the throne, calling his attention to his very own promises. The written word is God's testimony about himself, about his son, about his family. It is also a testimony about his old enemy that had sought to destroy the very object of his affection. Man, when you look at God's word, there's some facts to understand. The word is God speaking to me. It is a revelation to the confession. And remember, confession precedes possession. There's no possession without action. Faith requires acting on the word. Acting on the word is your confession. There is no believing that does not result in confessing. Confessing God's word is faith expressing itself. Your continual conversation locates you. I know where you are. I know what you are when I hear you talk. Let's look at our words. We are in our words. They are born in us. They are part of us. We live in them. They live in others. We know each other by our words. Our words are ourselves. Words are given to express ourselves. The Bible is born of God. He gave birth to it. He gave life to his own word. He is in it. It is a part of him. We know God by his word. He has expressed himself in it. God lives in his word and on our lips. He sets Jesus free to heal, save, and bless. Jesus is the word. He lives in the word. The word lives in us. The word's lordship is over us. We know the Father through the word. We know Jesus by his words. Get a new picture of Jesus and the Word and live in this. Abide in him. It's kind of arrogance when we as believers, yeah, I know the Bible. It's not in the knowledge. It's in the getting it to work. Jesus said, if you abide in me, in my words, abide in you. You can ask whatever you want, and it's going to keep happening. You don't need a formula. You don't need five steps. You need to make a decision today to know this risen Savior. You need to make a decision today that the Word is the most precious thing going, that countries over the years have given their lives for one page ripped out of a Bible, passed from church to church in a hostile land. We'd better appreciate, never take for granted, this Jesus who gave himself for me. And if you want a life that is beyond anything you could imagine, ask, or think, or dream, then just make God's word a priority. Make spending time with Jesus so that his word comes alive and it just bubbles out of you. Because faith is easy. Labor to enter the rest. And I'm telling you, everything in your life changes. You may need to hear this message over and over and let the word just saturate you and shower you and give you a bath and just get in your heart and water the word of God you've got there. And let's get up and let's go live a life so far beyond anything this world has seen. They can't ignore Jesus or his word anymore.
I hope that as you hear God's word, something on the inside of you begins to grow and be strong. When you hear the word of God, it should never make you fearful. God's word and his spirit will never make you worried or anxious. If you read or hear a preacher that it causes anxiety and fear and worry, it's the wrong spirit. Even if he's quoting and reading the word, his doctrine might even be okay, but it's the spirit that is behind it. The Bible says we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. I pray that you'll keep following and learning and growing. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, pray this powerful prayer that only you can pray for yourself right now. It goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I choose to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I choose to make you my Lord, my Savior. Come into my heart, my life. From today and on, I'm following you. Teach me your ways, in Jesus' name, amen. You just started the most exciting journey. Keep following the program.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media